Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the DDT Show. I am back again to talk about stuff. Decided to make another podcast, another one of these things. You know, I'm on this thing where I kind of just don't want to do a podcast unless I have something to say that I think is not important, because really what's important when it comes to video games, but, you know, relevant topics to talk about. So I am really kind of shocked a little bit at how consistent the numbers are. I don't know, maybe there's some people who are downloading all the older episodes or, you know, checking out some of the older stuff, but still got, you know, a lot of you subscribers and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool that you guys keep me in your feed just in case I do another one of these. I know I don't do them often. The last one I did was months ago, but, you know, I don't want to do one of these and just talk about stuff that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter to me. But the thing that kind of got me to do a podcast today, and I talked about it, I tweeted about it on Twitter maybe a week ago or, you know, a couple of days ago, PC gaming. Now, the date today, the day that I'm recording this podcast, it is October 30th, 2011, and a game came out called Battlefield 3. And, you know, Battlefield 3 is an interesting game within itself. First of all, congratulations to DICE. They've shipped 10 million copies, and supposedly their stores are ordering more. So apparently the game has been a massive success, although I don't agree with how they marketed the game, you know, going after Call of Duty. It just seemed kind of desperate, and it's something that they didn't need. You know, they made Battlefield 2, which was one of those tentpole games that, when you're talking about games that kind of helped, you know, push the industry forward, you know, that game definitely deserves to be talked about in that same sentence. So, you know, like, why do you have to go after Call of Duty? It doesn't make any sense. Whoever decided that marketing, you know, strategy would work probably needs to be relieved of their duties, because it just made them seem really desperate. And we all know that no matter what they did, Call of Duty is Call of Duty, and it's going to sell 30 million copies or whatever the hell it's going to sell, and Battlefield is going to do what it's going to do. And that's the wrong way to go about things. Everyone wants their game to be the next Call of Duty, and we all know that, like most things, the next Call of Duty is going to be a game that nobody sees coming. It is going to be a game that will show up and people are going to say, hey, this is what I want now. It's not going to be the game that is hyped up as the next Call of Duty, because it never is the case. You know, that fails it. You know, and it does a great disservice to DICE, who have probably worked really hard on Battlefield 3, to go out and say, yeah, we're gonna, you know, go above and beyond the call. I mean, it's all over the marketing, whatever. You know, that isn't the reason why I wanted to do this podcast. The reason why I wanted to do this podcast is I wanted to talk about games working properly. And it's kind of interesting, you know, PC gaming. Most of you know, I recently got back into PC gaming. Not recently, but a good couple of years ago, I decided to get back into PC gaming. It kind of seemed like there was a renaissance happening. Steam got really popular, and, you know, you just kind of just, you know, you see games like Crysis, and these games look absolutely amazing compared to what you would get on the console. So, you know, I bought my PC parts and got them from, like, Newegg and Tiger Direct, and I'm putting together my first PC, and that felt great. And I was like, man, I put it together, it was up and running in one shot, I didn't have to troubleshoot anything. I was like, man, I put this together, and this was, you know, kind of my thing. So, you know, I was happy with PC gaming for quite a while now. You know, Steam has great deals every day. I mean, there were days where I got 10 or 12 games for $15. And they weren't like little arcade games. I'm talking about, you know, real games that were at one point, you know, $50, $60 And here's Steam giving them away $5-$10. You know, they may be a year and a half old, but still, you know, you're getting these great deals on games. And I was loving PC gaming. It came with its quirks, as with PC gaming, which is the reason why I think, yes, PC gaming has kind of gone through a renaissance, but it's still nowhere near consoles. Because the stuff that you have to put up with PC gaming, if you've never really experienced PC gaming, see, I knew about all this stuff because I used to PC game back when I was way younger, back when StarCraft 2 was out and way back in the day. So this was me jumping back in. I knew what to expect. I knew that there were going to be driver issues with, you know, video card drivers. I expected all of that. But for a console person to go into PC gaming, it will probably frustrate the hell out of them. And for a while, I kind of put those grievances aside because I knew it came with the territory. But these past couple of weeks have kind of really frustrated me. And it's not like I'm going to quit PC gaming. I love PC gaming. You know, I just got a new video card just for Battlefield 3. I bought a GTX 580, which is a $500 video card. A video card that costs the same amount that I paid for almost when the PlayStation 3 launched, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago. This is for one card. And, you know, it lives up to its name. It is a beast of a card. It is humongous. It plays games at really high frame rates. It does what it's supposed to do, and I'm happy with it. But the problem has never been with the hardware for NVIDIA or ATI. Now, if you don't know, NVIDIA and AMD, as they're called now, they used to be called ATI, but now they're AMD, they are the two big graphics card makers for PC gaming. I guess you can call them the Microsoft and Sony of video cards. And just as kind of heated the Sony and Microsoft debate gets, AMD versus NVIDIA is almost as worse. I mean, PC gamers, you know, rally behind those companies just as much as the console guys do for, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, because that's kind of their equivalent. And I've owned AMD card. My first card when I got back into PC gaming was a 5870, which was an AMD card. Had issues with that. The drivers were not that great for that card. I ran into a bunch of stuff, and AMD is kind of notorious for, like, really shoddy drivers. I do have to say, though, in the recent, I'd say, year, their drivers have gotten a lot better. I had a 6970, zero problems at all. I always updated the drivers, never really had any issues with it. It seems like AMD kind of corrected some of the stuff that was wrong with previous drivers, and they're kind of back on track. And I switched to the GTX 580, which isn't really that big of a jump from a 6970. I probably would have been better off just buying another 6970 and cross-firing them, which, you know, in PC terms means just taking the graphical power and doubling it, which would have saved me some money. But I always kind of wanted to have, you know, the biggest, baddest video card. And if you do two cards, it can introduce some problems with drivers and stuff like that. I wanted to go single card solution. And GTX 580 is currently the fastest single GPU card available. They have a 590, but those are like two GPUs on one card. And if you just want one card, you know, one GPU, the 580 is the way to go. It's the fastest card in the market. So I picked up a 580, was ready to go. Battlefield 3, but not before I picked up a 580, I was playing Rage on PC, and this game absolutely broken out the gate. Just game won't boot. When the game booted, the textures weren't popping in correctly. I mean, just terrible. Just absolutely terrible. And there was no way for me to get a refund back on that. You know, you download a PC game, whether it be from Steam or whatever, you know, and you install it and you play the game, you know, you can't go back and ask for a refund. I mean, what if you were, you know, already beaten the game? So what I ended up doing was buying the Xbox 360 version, which runs flawlessly. Which, to me, is backwards logic. I have when you count all the parts. I mean, my PC is about a year old now. It still has the first generation i7 in it, but ballpark with the 580, $1,500 to maybe $1,800. You know, I spent on my system. Now, granted, I could do a lot more with this PC than you can with a console, but still, $1,800 is a decent amount of money to spend on essentially gaming. You know, on a game, or not on a game, but you know, gaming in general. And here was this, you know, $200 Xbox that said, "Fuck you! I'm gonna run this game, and I'm not gonna have any problem running it." And you're going to fight and fuss, and you're not going to get the game to run. Disheartening. You know, as a PC gamer, you see shit like that happen, and it's disheartening. And people put the blame on everyone. They put the blame on the driver manufacturers, AMD and NVIDIA. They put the blame on id for making such a buggy game. To me, it's everybody's fault. It's its fault. It's AMD's fault. It's NVIDIA's fault. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you understand why PC gaming has never reached the critical mass that console gaming has. And PC gaming, in a sense, is already at that critical mass, but you have to start talking about Facebook games and stuff like that, and that's not, I mean, it's PC gaming, I guess, but you know what PC gaming I'm talking about. I'm talking about slapping a $300 video card in your machine and running benchmarks. And that has always been a niche market. And as I was sitting around fiddling with rage, the constant thing going through my mind is, this is why. This is why almost none of my friends have no interest in putting together a PC to play any games. And, you know, it sometimes just isn't worth the headache. Now, I'm not saying PC gaming is bad all the time. For the most part, my experience has been smooth. But a PC gamer's version of smooth is different. Because for a PC gamer, their version of smooth is buy a game on launch, figure out it's broken, get the patch, install the patch, I'm ready to go. Find a place where they're hosting the patch, install into the directory. You know, that's smooth because that's what a PC gamer expects. But I think as gamers who spend the most money on hardware, there has to be some consistency between these games being released on PC and the drivers that are being put out for these video cards. I don't understand how the industry, how the developers, if you're making the game on PC, sit down with the people from NVIDIA and AMD and say, you know, this is the game, this is what we're going to do with the game, this is how we're going to run it. You know, have drivers ready, because it just gets ridiculous. So, you know, again, but that still wasn't the tipping point for me to make this podcast. The rage thing, once in a blue moon, a PC game comes out, it's bad. I mean, it's not bad, but, you know, it comes out, it's broken, blah, 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 nature of the beast. I said, whatever, man. You know, I messed around with it for a bit. I finally got it working, yeah, after I bought the 360 version and started playing that. But whatever. It is what it is. You know, that's PC gaming. So, then we get to the big Battlefield 3, which, for all intents and purposes, is probably the biggest game on PC this year. For a lot of people, might as well be a PC exclusive, because for most PC gamers, the 360 and PS3 versions of those games don't even exist. And after playing the 360 version of it and playing the PC version, I could see why someone would think that. Because, quite honestly, I know graphics aren't everything, but to me, the game is a whole different experience on PC. And there's something to be said for fidelity and just the way that the game is built, catering more to the PC side of things than it does to the consoles. To me, the game is just much better on PC than it is on, you know, on the consoles, barring the single player, which, whatever, is average at best. But still, you know, So Battlefield 3, you know, I bought it from Amazon. Like, I buy everything from them. They had a great deal, $41. I preloaded it. You know, Origin, you know, credit to Origin. I downloaded it, and I was getting 4 or 5 megabit downloads from Origin, which is more than I ever get with Steam. So that was great. It preloaded extremely fast, and I waited. And the launch happened. And usually, you know, for the past couple of years, when a launch happens, specifically on consoles, when a launch happens, it's a great thing, right? It's like when Gears 3 came out, when Halo, whatever console game, when Uncharted 3 comes out on the first, when a launch happens, it's great. You know, the discussion is solely on the game itself. And it's fantastic. People, I hate the game. I love the game. It's the greatest game of all time. Blah, blah, blah. That is 98% of console launches for games. And Battlefield 3, the game is broken. The game is broken. Now, I've been playing it. And when you're actually playing the game, it's a pretty good game. It is a pretty fucking good game. And the multiplayer is absolutely fantastic. It is a nice change of pace from Call of Duty. And it kind of sucks for DICE that they put out that beta, which wasn't very good. And, you know, that's a whole nother story. But the multiplayer is actually really solid. Conquest is, to me, the only way to play Battlefield 3. Which is basically domination for you Call of Duty guys. But that mode just works for Battlefield. And everything else just kind of feels weird, you know. If you want to kill whore, you can do Team Deathmatch. But then it's just kind of like, if I'm going to play Team Deathmatch on Battlefield 3, I'm going to play Call of Duty. You know, I'm not going to play Team Deathmatch on Battlefield 3. Because that just kind of defeats the whole purpose of what Battlefield is, you know, big open areas, vehicles, and stuff like that. So the game launches, and it's broken. First of all, I do have to say, the game is kind of optimized. You know, DICE were kind of scaring people, saying you need 2 GTX 580s to run this game on Ultra, and that really isn't the case. I have 1 580, and the game was running it on Ultra with everything turned on all the way up. Now, granted, I overclocked my 580, which was already overclocked to begin with, but I overclocked even further. But I was getting, in a lot of scenarios, more than 60 frames a second, which is really what you hope for. So the game is actually really well optimized for video cards, for the GTX 570 and 560 and 6870, 6970. The problem is the game itself. Like, the first thing I encountered when I started playing was I would get this crazy stuttering. The game would just start stuttering. Single player and multiplayer. It isn't lag. It's hard to explain. But the game would just, like, skip frames. It would just start stuttering. And I'm like, okay. I knew this wasn't going to be easy. You know, you go into it expecting, you know, like, all right, man, like, if it's only, like, just one little problem, and maybe they'll be able to patch it, and it won't really bother me that much. But the stuttering is really bad. And the crazy thing is, it seems to be random. Some people with the same setups don't have it. I have it. It's just kind of crazy, you know, and just really random. So I'm on the forums, I'm on Overclock.net, I'm on NeoGAF, I'm on everywhere. I'm just looking around saying, okay, let's see what's going on. You know, because the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you're not the only one having these problems. Because if it's only you, then something's wrong with your setup. So I'm checking around, and I see a couple of threads. Why is this game stuttering? Boom. Okay, I'm not the only one now. So I go into the thread, and everyone's like, this game is stuttering all over the place, and I don't know what's going on. And usually stuttering is actually because of a Crossfire or SLI setups. Usually that's kind of the drawbacks for having two cards. That's one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to stay away from having two cards. Although it's not an issue for most games, you know, some games you'll see it. But people were stuttering with one card, which is kind of unheard of. So, you know, the threads were just filled with, okay, try this, try this, worked for me, try this. Multiple people coming back, none of that shit worked, obviously. And then a guy comes in, I was reading on another thread, a guy comes in and says, hey, why don't you go into the BIOS? And again, you know, it's just like, okay, go into the BIOS, which if you don't know what the BIOS is, it's basically like the deep root end of your computer. It is the motherboard's operating system. If you're a console, it is basically the motherboard's dashboard. You know, it's the motherboard's XMB. This is where you really control all the components of the system. So the guy said, you guys probably have hyper-threading turned on. Go into the BIOS and disable it. And let me know how it runs. Now, hyper-threading is really cool. I mean, it kind of virtualizes core. So if you have a 4-core processor, you know, it gives you 4 extra threads. It's really great for multitasking and coding stuff. It's kind of one of Intel's signature kind of things about their processors is the, you know, hyper-threading. You know, when you get their big top of the line CPUs, which, by the way, you know, I paid $200-$300 back when they cost that much. So I don't want to, you know, I spent $300 on the CPU, again, one CPU, which is the price of, you know, more than the price of a PS3 or a 360 right now. I want to be able to use it to its full potential. And I've encountered zero games that conflict with hyper-threading. I go into the BIOS, again, shaking my head as I go into it, and I disable it, come back, game runs smooth. So I'm sitting there like, huh. They made a game, and now Intel, which is the biggest fucking CPU manufacturer on the planet, they made a game that has a problem with Intel's one of their signature things about their CPUs. Now, again, this isn't for everyone. So maybe that isn't a fair assessment to me because it isn't for everyone. But for a significant amount of people, for some reason, when you turn hyper-threading on, the game has a problem with it. I've never experienced this. I've played a ton of PC games. No PC game that I know of has a problem with hyper-threading at all. So now, if I want to play Battlefield 3 and not have it stutter all over the place, I have to go restart my computer, and I never turn my computer off. So this is a nuisance to me, and I use hyper-threading a lot in my daily tasks. So I actually value hyper-threading. It's not like I only game. If I were to only game on this machine, then I would absolutely turn hyper-threading off and not really care about it. But I have to, every time I want to play Battlefield, I have to restart my computer, disable hyper-threading, turn the computer back on. Then when I'm done, disable it. And not only that, when I turn off hyper-threading, it causes some other stuff to act wonky. Like my Zoom software, for some reason, I have a Zoom pass, and that doesn't work properly. Certain songs won't play because it detects that hyper-threading was turned off, which messes with, I guess, the ID of the computer, because Zoom pass songs are, you know, tied to, you know, specific computer, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. It causes some other stuff to act wonky. So, you know, when I was playing the game, okay, no stuttering, gone. Hey, happy Battlefield 3. Wrong. Game crashes. Okay, whatever. It's PC gaming. Shit happens. Game crashes again. Okay, I go to play with a bunch of friends. Parties can't join. Can't join server. You've been kicked from server. Update Punk Buster. This is not going to work. You got to go back. I've been kicked out again. Why? It's just, you get tired. You get tired. And you look at that little $200, $300 box in your living room and you start to think, like, this is why I've stuck with you for so long. Because the things that the developers bitch about with Microsoft and Sony and all these guys, that they're too stringent with, you know, putting games on their platform. But I think a lot of it has to do with benefiting the consumer. I like the fact that I can put Gears of War 3 in my Xbox 360. When it came out, it may download an update. It may not. I put the game in. It works. Now, to be fair, Battlefield 3 was also kind of fucked up on the console version too. So this may be, you know, this may all be DICE's fault. But the PC problems outweigh the console stuff. And that was the thing that got me frustrated. The combination of these games coming out. Oh, and not to mention, another thing I don't like is that Battlefield 3. First of all, I want to say this. There are a lot of console gamers coming over to PC. PC gaming is going through a renaissance, or has been going through a renaissance. And you're getting a lot of, you know, 17 to 24 year old kids who are starting to get jobs, have income. They want to build PCs. They, you know, they want to play PC gaming. And the reality of that is these kids grew up with a controller in their hands. Now, I play Battlefield 3 with mouse and keyboard just fine. I play Black Ops on PC with mouse and keyboard just fine. But developers need to stop gimping controller support because they're scared of what the quote-unquote hardcore PC community is going to say about that. Because all that does is frustrate probably the majority of the kids that are buying into PC hardware right now. The majority of these kids grew up with Xbox, PlayStation 2, Dreamcast, you know, N64. These are kids that have grown with a controller. And whether you want to have the argument whether PC keyboard is better than Xbox controller or PS3, whatever, keyboard versus mouse versus controller, you can have that debate until the cows come home. It doesn't matter. The great thing about PC gaming is you always have choice. That has always been the greatest strength of PC, is choice. You can choose to play with mouse and keyboard, but you don't have to. And the 360 controller support on Battlefield 3 for PC is terrible. They don't remap the icons with the, you know, with the controller. It's just kind of weird in single player because it's telling you to press the E button, but you're like, there's no E button on the controller. And it's just poorly done. And for a game to come out in 2011 and not have good gamepad support is kind of ridiculous to me. You know, I know it may not seem ridiculous to hardcore PC gamers, but I'm looking at it from a broad, you know, broad standpoint. People like to play, you know, with gamepads. Deal with it. You know, every time I go to a forum and someone posts, hey, you know, does this game have, you know, gamepad? You know, I want to plug in my 360 controller. And then there's 100 replies of, why do you want to play with that? It is so, you know, learn how to use keyboard and mouse. And mouse is like, shut the fuck up. He's not asking which is better. He's asking if the support is there. And you can't, you know, knock on kids for wanting to play with the thing that they grew up with. They didn't grow up with keyboard and mouse. They grew up with a controller. So they're buying these PCs and they're buying a USB 360 pad because they want to play with the controller. And a lot of people are now starting to hook their PCs up to their televisions so that they can play the games in high fidelity on their plasmas or LCD TVs. How the hell are you going to do that with a keyboard and mouse? You're going to be slouched over and get a table and do all that? I mean, it's just easier to get, you know, it's just easier to get a gamepad, sit back, relax, and play the game. I think PC developers in general, it's a standard. It should be in every game. Gamepad support should be in every game. Except if you're playing like a real-time strategy game, then obviously, you know, you don't need gamepad support. But any first-person shooter, any third-person shooter, any game that's being released that can make use of a controller in a significant way and give people an alternative way to play, that should be standard. And I hope it's, you know, don't half-ass it. If you're going to put gamepad support in the game, put it in the game and do it properly. You know, a lot of people play with their PS3 and 360 controllers on PC. I'm one of them. I like to hook my PC up to my television. Now, you know, first-person shooters, I like to get down with keyboard and mouse because I like the accuracy, you know. And because a lot of games don't support aim assist on PC, which if you don't have, you're just going to get slaughtered on PC. So, you know, again, it's just small stuff like that. I just wish some of that stuff would be standard. I still love PC gaming. I love it. You know, I show, you know, my friends all the time what, you know, Crysis 2 looks like and 1080p with everything turned up, and always blown away. You know, but the fear of having to deal with a lot of stuff I tell them about always scares them right back, saying, you know what, it looks good, but I don't know if it's worth the heartache to go out and do all that stuff. You know, it's just the combination of Rage and Battlefield 3, and, you know, let's put out PC games that work, please. Let's put out PC games that, I know you have to, you know, because PC gaming, there's so many configurations, how could you ever test and do this and do that, but a lot of the problems aren't because of the different configurations. A lot of the problems are because developers, for some reason, can't get this shit going properly. And I see a lot of people kind of expecting it. And I think it's just, you know, you give a company $60, whatever it is, and you expect the product to work. Especially considering that the majority of people who bought this game are only going to play one thing, and that's multiplayer. If the multiplayer is not working, I just spent $60 for nothing. Now I have to wait for DICE to put out a patch or whatever it is. So now they say they're going to put out a patch now, and they're going to fix the issues and whatever. That will come out, and it will probably fix the issues. That's not the point. I didn't pay my $41 to almost play the game or play the game badly and then wait 2 weeks for you to come back with a patch, which, by the way, now is the worst time to have problems with your games, because every fucking week there's a new game coming out. We have Uncharted 3 in a couple of days, Modern Warfare 3, Need for Speed and WWE 12 and Assassin's Creed Revelations. All these games are coming out every single week. Now's not the time to say, oh, hey, wait for that patch, because by that time I'm done. You know, I may come back, but I think it's important, especially if you're going to go up against a juggernaut like Call of Duty, I think it's important to have the game work the way it's supposed to. And I know PC gamers are used to it. I know that you're used to it. But it still doesn't mean that it's right. And it still doesn't mean that nobody should say anything or give shit to DICE about it or give shit to NVIDIA or AMD, but, you know, with the drivers. It still doesn't mean that people can't talk about it. So that's it for me. I had to get that off my chest. And I don't know when I'll be back for another one of these things. Maybe Game of the Year. Maybe I'll do end of the year award or something like that or whatever. And figure out what was what. So thank you guys for listening to me for another edition of the BBG Show. Until next time, I'm out of here.